Corinthians 15, 12 through 22, if you'd like to open your Bibles and read along with me. Reading from the New International Version. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is our faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he had raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him. In fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. I invite Bob Santiago up for the sermon today, and all children are now dismissed for junior church.
Good morning. Speak loud. How loud is loud? I don't have the mic on, so Dave's telling me that I have to stay in front of the podium mic, which is fine with me. But he also said, speak loud. I'm glad to be here this morning. Actually, I'm excited to be here this morning. Fred, are you here? Hey, Fred. Fred used to say that I always said when I started my sermons with, I'm excited to be here. So I got conscious of saying that. I guess I quit saying it. But since this is probably your last sermon that you're going to hear from me, Fred, for a while, I thought I'd say, I'm excited to be here, Fred. I truly am excited to be here. Anytime I have a chance to speak in front of you, I really take it as a privilege of God to speak. I just feel that it truly is a privilege and an honor that God calls you to be standing behind the pulpit. It's a scary thing sometimes, but truly an honor. Our topic for this week, or actually for this month, we're doing a series on the resurrection. We're building up to the Easter Sunday service, Lord. We just want you to know how serious Easter is to us. I know that we tend not to be a liturgical church, and we tend not to have a lot of the trappings of Easter that a lot of churches have. But we truly are serious about Easter and what it means, specifically concerning the resurrection of Christ and how important that is, that we understand who Christ is and how important the resurrection is. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, you are a great God. You're a wonderful God. You are mighty, you're holy, and you are just. We do thank you, O our Father. We do thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, or for sending us your Holy Spirit to be our guide and our comfort. Our God, we come before you this morning, and we ask that you teach us from the Word. We pray, Father, that we honor the Word in truth. Our Lord in heaven, may these next few minutes be something special from you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, we have been talking about the resurrection. Doug started this last week concerning the fact of the resurrection, that it is truly a fact. Foundational to our faith is the fact that Jesus Christ historically did die on that cross, and that there was a historical event, that a miraculous resurrection of our Savior. No other founder of religion ever did or claimed to do what Jesus did. He is absolutely unique. His resurrection was attested by believers and skeptics alike. We do not have a faith based on wishful thinking or just some kind of philosophical teaching, but one rooted in the historical resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is that important to us. The resurrection validates Christ's identity as Lord, as truly God. It validates his deity. It is foretold It is foretold and he fulfilled it. He reiterated everything that he promises for us by doing it before us. And therefore, he is the God of salvation. He is the God of hope for all of us. You see, Christians are to be people of hope. Our hope rests in the victory over death that Jesus Christ accomplished on that cross. Because he died and rose again, he can deliver us from that very thing, from that very thing that we fear the most, our own death, physical death. Hope is what we have. Hope is what I want to talk to you about this morning, the hope of the resurrection. How do we move ourselves from accepting the fact of the resurrection, factual information, which often we can treat as theology, we can say, okay, this is great theology, and move to accepting that as essentially something that has practical implications for our own lives? How do we apply that? We apply that by resting in the hope of our own resurrection that is possible. Yes, it is theology, but theological facts that do not have some spiritual outcomes is just dry knowledge. Theology only comes alive when we see the spiritual applications that come from it. As a church, we do want to teach theology. One of the things that we do here at CBC really well, I think, is teaching. Our instructional program is very good. We do teach theology. The resurrection is a theological point of view, a theological doctrinal statement that we take. It is essential to Christianity. But how does that apply to me? How does this doctrine, how does this theology apply to me, to my understanding of God, to my life, and my relationship with Christ? It is always about how it affects our relationship with God. When we accept the theological fact of the resurrection, we find that a way, we will find a way to make it truly personal. Again, theology is not for just for factual information. There must be a way of making this information real, real to you and real to me. Let me make my declaration of a thesis statement right now. The hope of the resurrection is the personal application of the fact of the resurrection. The hope of the resurrection is the personal application of the fact of the resurrection. Doug proved to us last week in his message that the fact of the resurrection must be accepted as such, as a fact. The hope of the resurrection is your personal application of that fact. My key verse comes in verses are 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 21, 22. Now, we just read that passage, which is good, but I would have us also, as Doug did last week, allude to John 11 and read a few verses from that as well. So if you will turn in your Bibles to John 11, I'd like to add to our scriptural reference today. John 11 from verse 17. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. We're in the middle of the story of the resurrection or of Lazarus, the raising of Lazarus. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask." And Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." "Yes, Martha said, "he will rise when anyone else rises on the last day." And Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha?" "Lord," she told him, "I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God." Then she returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, "The teacher is here and wants to see you." So Mary immediately went to him. Jesus had stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. When the people who were at the house consoled Mary, saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was late going to Lazarus' grave to weep. So they followed her there. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up with him, and he was deeply troubled. "Where have you put him?" he asked them. The Lord told him, "Lord, come and see." Then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, "See how much he loved him." But some said, "This man healed the blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying?" Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb, and a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. "Roll the stone aside," Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, "Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible." And Jesus responded, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe?" And we'll stop right there. The hope of the resurrection is how you apply this to your life. One of the things that I would have you see here is Jesus' interchange with Mary and Martha, specifically Martha. Personal application is important because of the way it will affect the way you think. How does the fact of the resurrection affect the way Martha thinks in this passage? The resurrection will give you a new and different life. The resurrection should give you a new and different way of viewing things. It's something distinct for Christians. And her knowledge of Christ and her belief in Christ should have changed what she knew about what God can do and what Christ can do. What do you believe about life and death? What do you believe about life and death? And what you believe about life and death will always affect the way you live your life. It will always affect the way you live your life. The resurrection has a practical application for your life. The question you need to ask yourself then is the same question that he asked Martha. Look at verse 25. Jesus told her, Jesus tells you, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die." Do you believe this, Martha? The question is, do you believe this? Do you believe this? "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die." Do you believe this? It is one of Jesus' greatest challenges in the New Testament to you. What do you believe? It's one thing to say that you believe in Christ. But God says that in the scriptures that Christ is the resurrection and the life. How does this affect the way you think about God? How does this affect the way you think about life in itself? How does this change the way you will live your life? The resurrection of Christ is indeed our salvation. The resurrection of Christ is the hope that we have for the future, because we live differently with the hope of the resurrection. Death does not have a hold on us. Death should not bring us the fear that all have because of it. Death, we must recognize, is a victory for us. As a Christian, our hope is placed squarely on the fact that Christ has the power to resurrect us from death. As he himself was resurrected from the real death. As he suffered on the cross, so shall he do for you. And as he rose again, so shall he do for you. Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and life. If everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die." Do you believe this? Do you believe that you will never, ever die? Now, one of the things that we have to recognize is that What is death here? It's physical death. There is physical death. But what is different for the Christian is that the physical death is only a graduation exercise. It's a promotion. We do have eternal life. You know, we quote that all the time. John 3:16. That God has got, will grant us eternal life. What is eternal life? It means that we will not die. So what is that physical death? What is that time when we quit breathing? When we quit, our heart stops? Our brain stops? What is that? We're told from the scriptures that as a Christian, we will have the resurrection. That we will have new life in Christ. And that our new life will be eternal. If there is any salvation for you, it rests in the salvation of Christ and his ability to deliver you from that physical death. There is life after death, but only in Christ. What is the difference between a Christian and the rest of the world? The new life we have in Christ. Only we will experience the eternity that God wants us to experience. Eternity is something that exists. Whether we die or we stop, time will continue on. Eternity is something that God has. Eternal life in with God is something that God grants to us. He gives us. It is only available to those who know Christ as Savior. The resurrection means that we too will be raised into new life just as he is. Our faith is based on this promise, claiming the promises of God, living in the hope, the earnest expectation of what is to come and what God has planned for us. We as Christians therefore have to be future oriented. Yet we live one day at a time, don't we? In each of our lives, in each and every day, we carry with us then that promise of the hope. And that promise encourages us and helps us live and helps us and carries us through all kinds of things. All kinds of trials, all kinds of temptations and sufferings, and even the ordinary things of life. Many of us live mundane lives and ordinary lives. But we who know Christ will claim the hope of the resurrection as our firm hope. And that will affect the way we live our lives. As a Christian, we must not forget the promise of God through the power of his Son that there is new life and that it is eternal life. Not just new life, but eternity. But what does this hope mean for us as we live in the routine of our days? For one, it means that we live out our lives very differently than the rest of society, even within the society. Do you feel that you live a life different from most of our society? You should. God would have it so. Selfishness, greed, pleasure-seeking, self-indulgence, living only for the day, these are not just the result of sin, but the result of hopelessness. Hopelessness that comes from the lack of acceptance of even the idea of a life after death or life in eternity or that there is anything beyond what we know and experience. How many times have you heard it before that there are those who believe that there's nothing? You die, you stop breathing, you go into the ground, you return to dust. That's it. There's no idea of eternity, and with no idea of eternity, they are left hopeless. There is no hope into their future. But Christians are to have a hope. There is more than what we know by our physical and sensual experience here. There's more beyond this. And so we need to recognize that the resurrection is truly a hope of salvation. What does this mean for us as we live our routine in lives? For one, we live differently. Our trust is in the testimony and in the instruction of God. Christians don't trust the news. Christians don't trust the television. Christians don't trust the printed word. Christians trust the word of God. This is our authority. And if this is our authority, we're listening to what God has to say for us. That is the difference. God is our authority. We're not listening to people who are, you know, are great degrees and professors and they thought they figured it out, or psychologists who think they figured it out, or even just great men, famous men, who think that they have figured it out. We're listening to the Word of God. And the testimony of the Word of God is that salvation is only through Jesus Christ. And that Jesus Christ is the only one who can deliver life after death. Jesus Christ is our hope of resurrection. We will be resurrected as he is. Let me show you, though, one way how this plays out in our lives. In a way, this is a miraculous way, I believe, but it's the way that it should affect our lives as well. Many of you are familiar with the flight on September 11, 2001, that did not make it to its intended destination, but instead went down in a field in Pennsylvania because of the courageous act of a few. One of those was Todd Beamer, a Christian. I don't know about the others, but I know that Todd Beamer believed in the hope of the resurrection of Christ, and he proved it on September 11, 2001. Todd's signature phrase, "Let's roll," became and will always be a rallying cry that recalls the heroism of that day. It was more than just a rallying cry, though, and it was even more than bravery. I believe that because he was a Christian, I believe that it reflected on how his belief in the resurrection, not only of Christ, but his own, because of the promise of Christ, affected how he would proceed in his life, and in particular, how he would proceed in that moment. Theology resulting in action. Did he think about his own death? I certainly think he did. Did the thought of never seeing his wife and his children again enter his mind and bring great sadness to himself? I believe he did. But I also believe that he knew Christ and who Christ is and what Christ has promised and what Christ has promised as far as his future. And that emboldened him. It wasn't just bravery that came from within. It was bravery that came from Christ himself. Todd proceeded in that moment, not just with bravery, but the confidence in Christ that physical death is not all there is. Physical death is not all there is. I love the subtitle that Lisa Beamer and Ken Abraham chose for their book concerning Lisa's husband's last moments on the flight. "Let's roll, ordinary people, extraordinary courage." Christ calls us as Christians to live our lives as ordinary people, but with extraordinary courage. Courage because we are emboldened by Christ in us. Emboldened by what we know Christ has done for us. And emboldened by what we have as far as the promises of our future. Todd knew that the end for most was not going to be his end. Christ said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me, even after dying, everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this, Todd? I believe that's what Todd heard. Do you believe this, Todd? I believe Todd Beamer said yes to that question. And Todd believed the worst that could happen was not the worst that could happen. The hope of the resurrection means that for the Christian, that the worst that can happen, death, cannot happen. It cannot happen for the believer. Do you believe this, Martha? Do you believe this, Todd? Do you believe this, Christian? Do you believe this? It will affect the way you act and behave. How important is this hope to us? Hope keeps us going, doesn't it? We all hope that things will get better, that we will be better, that our lives will be better. That though the moment is bad, the next moment won't be. The resurrection is our valuable hope. The resurrection is our valuable hope. The promise of the resurrection is to be, therefore, our treasured hope, something that we treasure. It is something that we have as Christians that is of extreme value and worth, and thus we must protect it and hold on to it. It is ours to keep as a possession and keep it near to us and dear to us. It is like the money in the bank that guarantees payment on your check. When we use a paper dollar, we are using a government-issued promissory note that there are funds behind that dollar to back it up. It has the value of the issuer that has given it. We use dollars every day to get the things that we need. The resurrection promise is also that which gets us through our lives. We are to make decisions based on our surety, the surety of our salvation, but on this, also on the surety of Christ's ability to deliver his promises. It is Christ who is able, not ours. The resurrection promise is that which gets us through life when we experience what can sometimes be some really dire and daunting circumstances. Life is hard. I won't debate that. Sickness and poor health, a reversal of fortune can come to any person, even people of great wealth and circumstance, even people of great faith. Why does a flood or an earthquake hurt so many who have so little in the first place? Life is hard. And life is hard when it seems that even the most unfortunate even suffer greater misfortune. But living in the light of Christ's resurrection means that we have a fuel to our faith. The resurrection promises to keep us going. It fuels faith as gasoline fuels our engine. The resurrection theology is that important to us. It should motivate us. It should keep us going. It should be the hope that we have for the future. It influences the way we live now and the choices we make. It influences our view of death and our fear of death, how we face the future and how we plan for the future. When we face trials, even when we face the daily grind, we need to keep ourselves focused on the very fact that Jesus Christ is our guarantor. He is the one who is guaranteed that we do have a future, that we do have a future beyond that is a good future, and that we have a future even beyond death. The worst that can happen for the Christian cannot happen. Most people would define the worst that can happen as death. But our hope is that the worst that can happen cannot happen. It keeps us focused on our future. I want to point to you one more thing here before I close. Did you notice that Jesus got angry again? We were troubled by the fact that sometimes Jesus shows anger. But if you look at verse 33, it says, "When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up with him, and he was deeply troubled. 'Where have you put him?' he asked. They told him, 'Lord, come and see.' Then Jesus wept. The people were standing nearby. See how much he loved him? And some said, 'This man healed the blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying?' Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb. A cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. 'Roll the stone aside,' Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, 'Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible.' And Jesus responded, 'Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe?'" This is the same question that he asked. He said, "Do you believe this, Martha?" And now he says, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe?" So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me. But I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing there, so that they would believe you sent me." Then Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come out." and the dead man came out, his hands and his feet in his grave clothes, his face unwrapped in headcloth. Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. Jesus has told them that he is the resurrection. Jesus proved that by doing it for himself. But even before that, we have the miracle of Lazarus. Lazarus, for all intents and purposes, was dead. He was final. He's been dead for 4 days, and they fully expected him to stink. And yet, Lazarus, come out. The worst that can happen in their eyes has already happened. And yet Jesus brings victory and has raised Lazarus. The message to Mary and Martha and to all of them there is, do you believe this? Do you believe that the resurrection is possible? Do you believe that the resurrection is something that Christ can do and will do for you? If you don't believe that Christ can do that for you and that he will do that for you, then your faith in 1 Corinthians 15 is futile, it says. Then your faith is useless. And all the criticisms of Christianity is true. That's how important the resurrection is. That's how important your understanding of the resurrection. Because for what God has promised he will not do if you do not believe this. We must believe in the resurrection of Christ. It is another circumstance in which we see Christ fulfilling everything he said. And so we must believe that. You see, they didn't have a connection. You see that to not have a connection between him and his ability to save you is just words. You need to know him as Savior and Lord. That's how he came. That's what he came for, which means that he will deliver you from death. His question in verse 40 to them is, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? You know, they're looking at this and they're saying, they're looking and saying, oh, wow, this is amazing. You know why I believe that Jesus was angry here? Because they went, wow, that's amazing. It was a surprise to them. And his response to them was, didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you? The question for us, therefore, is, what do you believe? Do you claim his promises? Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? Are you going to be surprised when you wake up in heaven? I sure hope not. We should be joyous. We should be happy, even ecstatic, but not surprised. I don't want Jesus to see surprise in my face. And the first question he asked me is, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? My hope is in the resurrection of Christ. And my hope is based on his ability and his faithfulness to deliver that which he has promised. And that he has promised eternal life. So I'm going to be joyous and I'm going to be ecstatic. But I hopefully am not going to be surprised that God delivered. That Jesus delivered. Listen to these final words of scripture that I want to give you from John 5. If you want to turn your Bibles. How important is the resurrection to us as Christians? John 5, 24 through 29. I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. Not just listening, believing, but you will have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life. I assure you that the time is coming. Indeed, it is here now, when the dead will hear my voice, the voice of the Son of God, and those who listen will live. The Father has life in himself, and he has granted that same life-giving power to the Son. And he has given him authority to judge everyone because he has the Son of Man. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. John 6, just another chapter over. John 6, 39. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of those who was given to me, but I should raise them up at the last day. For it is my Father's will that all who will see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life. I raise them up on that last day. Verse 44. For no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me, and on the last day I will raise them up. And verse 54. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks of my blood has eternal life, and I will raise that person in the last day. Each one of these references the very fact that God will raise us up. The resurrection is not just Christ being raised. It is our promise, our hope that he will do that same thing for us. And it was all words of scripture in John. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 4 real quickly. Acts 4, verses 1 and 2. While Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priest, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees. These leaders were very disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus there is a resurrection of the dead. Acts 24, verse 15. I have the same hope in God that these men have, that he will raise both the righteous and the unrighteous. Because of this, I always try to maintain a clear conscience before God and all people. There is a resurrection, a future resurrection. It was taught by Jesus in the Gospels, and it's now being followed up by the disciples in their actions in the book of Acts. And then finally, as we see it in 1 Corinthians 15, in the instruction of Paul, the resurrection. Verse 17, and if Christ is not raised, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. Verse 14, and if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God. For we have said that God raised Christ from the dead. Without the resurrection, Christianity is useless, folks. Without that promise from God that he will do what he has done for his Son, he will do it for us, Christianity is futile and it is useless. He is our hope. And our hope rests in the resurrection of Christ. Our hope rests in the resurrection of him, ability of doing it for us. It is our future, therefore. Our purpose, therefore, is to maintain this instruction that you would see the resurrection and how it can help us to live our daily lives and how it can be the focus of our future. How important it is to claim this. There is more than the here and now. There is more than what you experience. As a Christian, you need to live a life in light of the fact of the resurrection. This is not all there is. Christ has promised so much more. Believe God for more. Believe God for the promise of the resurrection. It is the promise of God that you should keep moving through life with him and towards him. The hope that is in the resurrection is that which keeps you motivated and brave and encouraged as you head into the next day. Your trust must not be in the things of the world but of the things of Christ. The fact of his resurrection pictures what is in store for you. I am the resurrection and the life, he says. Anyone who believes in me, even after dying, everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Christian? Do you believe this, Christian? And if you do, how will you live your life? If anyone here would like to stay, there's a few of us leaders that would like to pray with you. Maybe you need to make a decision concerning the resurrection as we approach the Easter season. How does the resurrection of Christ, the fact of the resurrection, the theological point of the resurrection, motivate you, and how will that change your life? If you'd like to make a decision based on what you've heard, based on the Word of God in the Scriptures, we'd like to pray with you. And we invite you to come up and we'll pray. Let's close in prayer right now. Father in heaven, you are a great, great God. You're a wonderful God. We are so thankful for your Word. Your Word is the Word that we trust in. You are the hope of our salvation. You are the hope of everything that we believe in, everything that we know. Our lives are entrusted to you, Lord. Our future is entrusted to you. We know that you are God. We accept the testimony of the Scriptures that you are God, and that as God, you are able to deliver all your promises. The promise of the resurrection is our hope. Our Father in heaven, as we go from here, we ask that you would change our lives, motivate us, make us different because of who you are and the hope of salvation that we have in you. Thank you in Jesus' name.